Merry Christmas again. Is everybody finished with their Christmas shopping? Nobody sent me a text message asking for my sizes or anything. I'm a little concerned. I asked Susan, what do you want for Christmas? And she said, Mike, I want nothing more than a diamond necklace from Tiffany's. So I'm doing what she said. I'm giving her nothing. I hope we have some fun today because, you know, it's Christmas time and we're going to talk about all kinds of things. We have to talk about joy. We have to talk about present and presence. And we have to talk a little bit about Santa Claus. You know, we all know he's an elf made man. And suddenly I don't miss Susan. Who can't be with us today because she's really still fighting a bug, as a lot of people are. But we're going to try to put all of this together. And we're going to start out talking about joy because truly this is the season, right? Let me hear you. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Oh my God, was that lame? But we will go on. Christmas really is a special time. And it is a time when something magical happens and the world starts to have that Christmas spirit. And I will tell you that early on in the season, shortly after Thanksgiving, I was starting to feel it flowing through me and growing in me. And then just last week, somebody asked me, are you feeling the Christmas spirit? And I thought about it for a moment. And I had to be honest, and I said, you know what? No, not really. And I really was bothered by that realization, that self-realization, and I took it to prayer, and I just, what's going on? And then I came to realize that what went on is that I got busy. And I'm sure that you could all relate to this. And, you know, and as fun as it is in one way to put up Christmas decorations and go shopping and, you know, and go to the mall, it can be so incredibly overwhelming and it could reach a point where it just absolutely consumes you because that's piled on to all of the other stuff that is going on, your jobs and trying, you know, to get food on the table and getting to work or to school or whatever. And so the joy just goes away. And then I thought about that more, and I said, no, that doesn't make sense. The joy does not go away because joy is truly a divine concept. You know, we talk in unity about a God that is all good all of the time, a God that is always about our highest and greatest interests, a God that wants us to be happy, and so that it's all part of the abundance, our joy, our happiness. And so what happens is we go away. We go away from that concept of who and what we really are. I'm also want to be sensitive to the reality that this is a very, very difficult time of the year for some people. Because a lot of people, especially if they're even just a little bit depressed to begin with, tend to grow sadder. It's a difficult season for people who have lost loved ones. It's a difficult season for parents who have children and they're just struggling to get food on the table for the children and have them clothed properly, let alone trying to think of something that Santa could bring the kids. And so it could be a very, very difficult time. And all of us are charged with the responsibility of reaching out to one another. Not trying to ram Christmas down anybody's throat, but to say, I'm here. And more of this goes on, you know, after Christmas. We can't wait to get the decorations down. We've had it up to here with Christmas. We want our houses back. And again, it's important for us to show up and be present to one another. But there's something interesting if you think about it. The fact that this is a time of the year that is a time of struggle for people is living proof of the miracle of Christmas. Because the joy, the spirit of Christmas, truly is something that is in the air. And for the Christmas miracle has been defined traditionally over 2,000 years as an incredible event because it's a time that God became man. And that's beautiful, and that's really powerful, and I respect that. But in unity, we take it. We dare to take it a step further. And we understand and appreciate that the reality of Christmas is such that we celebrate that man became God. O come, Emmanuel. That happens to be my favorite Christmas carol. I just realized I screwed up the order of service today. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me humble. We'll get through this. No, it's okay. We'll stick with the talk and then the... Maybe later. My favorite carol is O Come, Emmanuel. The evoking of the reality. Emmanuel means God with us. And so we sing it, and if you listen to the words, you know, and rescue precious Israel that's in exile. And so when we sing that, though, we should be singing it not for God to come to us only from the outside, but we should be evoking the Emmanuel deep inside of each and every one of us. That reality is there. And so, yeah, we should be celebrating at Christmas time. We should be caroling and we should be decorating and we should get into the bells and all of the songs and the Christmas cookies and the visits to Santa Claus, the whole works, everything. Because the absolute truth is that the so-called miracle of Christmas is nothing less than each and every one of you. And if you want to get into the Christmas spirit, embrace that for a moment. And you might say, that's tough to believe. Well, of course it's tough to believe. Because we have so much baggage that has gone on in our lives and so many times that the world has told us, you know, just stay back. You're lacking here, you're a sinner here, and all that kind of stuff. Of course, it's difficult for us to accept and to believe about ourselves. That's why Santa Claus is so important. You know, we present Santa Claus to our children. Why? Because we understand, we respect where they are and their awareness and consciousness. And so it's important, though, to give them something tangible. Something that they could look at and relate to in some real way that somehow transmits the whole spirit, the whole meaning of Christmas and the message of love and so on. So Santa Claus is a sacrament. Santa Claus is a sign. And so we should be celebrating his ho, ho, ho and his jolliness and everything about it. Now, I'm not asking you to believe in Santa. Personally, I do. But I'm not asking you to do so. And so I'll ask you instead to concentrate, to focus on something that is more in our level of your own personal awareness and your own consciousness. And one of the things that I think that most, if not all of us, can relate to is the idea of gift. All of us has given a gift at some time or another. Hopefully, all of us have received a gift from somebody else at one time or another. And what is it supposed to represent? When you give somebody something, I don't care if it's a Tiffany necklace. I don't care if it's a shoelace to help somebody tie their shoes because the shoelace has been broken. The element that is significant here is when you give that gift, how much of yourself are you sharing? How much of that gift is a recognition of the other person? How much of that gift is you being present to one another? And so I promised you earlier we were going to do the handshake and the hugging and the meet and greet. Turn to somebody now. Extend your hand. Give a hug. Look them in the eyes and with all of the authenticness that you can muster and all of the sincerity that you can muster, give them a Merry Christmas. And really, really mean it. Give them a Merry Christmas that tells them, I look into your eyes and I see the reality of the birth of the Christ. Now. That's your cue. Merry Christmas. Oh, come on. All right. Installation. I don't. Now, let's get carried away here. Let's, you know. So, you know, it's really so interesting, and we go back to that part of it's so hard for us to believe. It's so tough for us to believe what I'm really promoting today, that reality of the Christ being birthed within you. And you go back to the Christmas story and the metaphysics of it. You know, Jesus was born and was put in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. And so, if that reality was expressed in a way by the gospel writers to tell the story that Jesus was able to come from those circumstances, there's nothing about us that could be any more humble than coming from that kind of a reality. And so, again, it all becomes about the gift of presence. We live in a time in which multitasking is applauded. And I understand that it's a talent, but it's also a detraction. So if you want to move more into the spirit of Christmas, I invite you to do a very simple thing. Do less, better. Allow yourself in any given moment to be in that moment. Okay, my grandson is in from college and he decided he was going to come over and challenge the old man in ping pong this week. We were playing ping pong and all of a sudden he's like, hey, wait a second. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm sorry, I just had the text message. And I said, I'm not upset that you're texting. You know, it took a whopping 15 seconds. Big deal. But what's upsetting to me is it conveys an attitude is, we're not here together at this moment. You gotta... Okay, if there's ever living proof that spirit is among us. But we are. All of us have been in conversations when we're really not in conversation with the other person because that person is busy looking over our shoulders or, you know, at somebody else or at the buffet table that they're anxious to get to or whatever. If we're going to be with one another, we need to be with one another. Every exchange that we have is a golden opportunity to recognize the Christ in the other person and at the same time come to accept it more about ourselves. You know, when I go to a restaurant, you know, most of the time the waiter or waitresses are there, yes, what'll be, you know, and it might as well be a robot. And I'm telling you, any time I get a waiter or waitress that is standing in front of me and I just know that person's giving me full attention, and is, you know, not just about doing his or her job, but is there, that person automatically gets 30%. Positively. You know, and if you've ever been at a department store and somebody is waiting on you and it's more than perfunctory, more than marginal, you understand and you take delight in the whole thing. We have tremendous opportunities here. Because what we're really talking about is leading into the second most important part of this is presence. The greatest gift we can ever give to somebody else is to truly be there for one another. And we have a special event going on today. Today is the day of our prayer chaplain installation and dedication. And it really fits in, because if you want to talk about a group of people that are so holy and holy involved in this ministry, we have this here at Unity of Fox Valley. If you have ever taken advantage of this incredible ministry that we have, as I suggest to you to do every single Sunday, then you know that you are immersed in spirit with somebody who's looking you in the eyes and doing something incredibly wonderful. They're listening. Being present to somebody is all about keeping your eyes and your ears open and your mouth shut. Being present to somebody involves reaching out to that other person and really sending the message, you are really incredibly important to me. And so it's right, it's proper, it's an obligation, I think, that we have to do this on an annual basis. Not just to honor the people who have given countless hours in training and countless hours every single month involved in the ministry of prayer, in the ministry of connecting the individuals in this congregation to spirit, reminding them that whatever it is that is bugging you, plaguing you, bothering you, let's bring it back to God. Let's bring it back to spirit. Let's bring it back to that place, to that awareness that you are incredibly important, that you are incredibly loved. What greater Christmas miracle could we ever celebrate?